Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, Casper Faith family. It's great to have you with us. Also, we want to welcome those who are joining us first time for our online worship service. We're glad that you've joined us too. I am so excited to announce that next Sunday, May 31st, we are opening back up for our public worship service, and it is going to be a fantastic time, and we just want to invite you to come. And make sure you come a little bit early, because you're not going to be able to just get up at 20 minutes to 10 like you've normally done, grab a bowl of Cheerios and just watch the service in your pajamas. You're going to need to come a little bit early, because the seating arrangement is going to be different than what it has been with the social distancing. So make sure you get here a little bit early. But just for your information, we're going to put a video on this week on Facebook that just kind of gives you a tour of what it's going to look and feel like when you come into the church, when you come into the sanctuary, so that you're a little bit familiar with it. Also, we're going to have a chart, an information sheet on Facebook and Instagram that just lines out all of the different changes and the procedures that we're going to be following during this time. One of the big changes is that for our children's ministry, only nursery will be meeting. Our preschool and elementary Pawn Kids churches, they're going to join us here in the sanctuary. And so we just want you to be aware of that. Parents will be sitting with you, so you might need to bring some things with you. We also have our quiet bags that the kids can utilize. But we are having an online kids service. That will be Sunday afternoons. It'll be posted 1 o'clock on the Adventure Kids Facebook group. And it's going to be some high-energy worship, a Bible lesson, some really cool activities that the kids can do at home. And so you don't want to miss that. Make sure you watch that Sundays at 1 o'clock. And next week, we're going to be sharing just some incredible things. God has been doing exciting things here at Casper Faith. While we haven't been meeting publicly, that hasn't stopped God from moving. And it's just going to blow your mind when you hear what God has done for us over these past several weeks. And I am just so excited. Can't wait to share that with you. So you don't want to miss next Sunday, the 31st. Something I want you to be aware of, mark it on your calendar, Wednesday, June 10th, we're starting a Bible study on the end times. This is a time a lot of people are saying, hey, is this kind of like the last days? Is this the end times? What's happening? And we're going to take 7 weeks and just look at some Bible prophecy, look at different things that are taking place around us, and I think you're really going to enjoy this study. So I'm looking forward to teaching it. It'll be at 6:45 on Wednesdays here at the church. This morning, I want to talk about the topic of rest. The topic of rest, and I'd like you to turn to Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to take a look at what the writer says. He's going to explain 4 pictures of rest. During this time of COVID-19, for many people, this has been a period of rest. Maybe they're not as busy, a lot of the social activities, their kids' athletic events, and just many of the normal things that they would run and go to have been shut down, and so they have more time to relax. Possibly some people are maybe out of work, and so they've had more spare time on their hands. And as they're coming out of this COVID-19, it's kind of like they're saying, man, a lot of my activities are beginning to ramp up again. How do I maintain this rest, this peace that I've been experiencing during this time? Now, on the flip side, from other people, instead of being a time of rest, this has been a time of extra work. For them, COVID-19 has meant learning new skills, doing work from home. Maybe they had to learn how to teach or do meetings on Zoom or some other form of video conferencing. And so it's just been a lot of extra work. Some people, their hours have been cut. So they've taken up a second or third job, and now they feel kind of frazzled and fragmented because they're working here, working there, working here. And for some people, they've lost their job, so they're doing a resume blitz. They're looking for employment. And so for a lot of people, this has just kind of amped up their busyness. Maybe they're teaching their kids at home, or their kids are struggling with the online learning, so they're devoting more time to homework and trying to explain to them and just help them to grow in their education. And the question is for those people, as life begins to resume and get back to normalcy and there's more activity now, how am I going to handle this extra work on top of what I've already been doing? How do I find rest? And so today I want to share with you four pictures found in Hebrews chapter 4. And these four pictures of rest describe like four categories of rest. And I believe that we need all four of these if we're going to experience God's rest in our lives. I want to share a couple definitions of rest this morning. First of all, rest is relaxation in the presence of God. It's relaxation in the presence of God and in the certainty that there is no cause for fear. You see, rest is a place of blessing. It's a place where we're not striving. And that doesn't mean we're not busy. You can be busy, but you still can be relaxed, because you're in God's presence and you're certain that He is working everything out. You can trust Him. There is certainty that there's no reason for you to fear. That's the first definition of rest. The second is that rest is the satisfaction that comes from accomplishment, a completion of a task from the exercise of creativity. Rest, you find this satisfaction. Hey, I got this project done. Maybe it's balancing your checkbook. Or maybe it's something really big like, hey, you were installing a closet organizer, or you were landscaping your yard. And when you complete that project, you just have this sense of rest. Sometimes our projects might be something as mundane as mowing the lawn, and you get done with it and you just feel satisfied. You have this rest about you. Or maybe for some of you, it's like, man, I finished my college degree. And it's been something you've been doing a long time. And so there's just this sense of rest, this satisfaction, this completion that you have accomplished it. And I want you to keep these two definitions in mind. We're going to be referring back to them throughout this message this morning. So rest, what does it do for us? How does it help us? Rest renews our strength. It replenishes our energy. It relaxes the mind, refreshes the soul, restores our vision, and it refocuses our perspective. Those are the things that rest does for us. We need to be people that are rested, that experience the rest of God. It's vitally important to our lives. And as we dive into rest this morning, we're going to look at these four pictures. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, since the promise of entering His rest still stands. Notice that rest is described as God's rest. God is the source of rest. We receive rest only from God. And the writer of Hebrews is going to share four pictures that help us encounter the rest of God. So if you're ready this morning, if you're taking notes, here's the first picture of rest. Rest is heaven. It's a spiritual rest. We see this in verses 1 through 3. Rest is heaven. It's spiritual rest. In the previous chapters of Hebrews, the author has been writing about how the children of Israel did not enter the promised land of Canaan. They didn't find their rest. They had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. They never entered into this promised land of abundance, of destiny that God had for them. And the promised land is many times a picture of heaven. And they didn't enter the promised land because they lacked faith in God. They were rebellious. They were disobedient. And it likens them to not only not entering into the promised land, but they didn't enter into the rest of heaven, into the place that God had prepared for them. Egypt, many times in the Bible, is a picture of sin. It's a type of sin. It illustrates sin. And the promised land illustrated heaven. And so God brought them out of Egypt, wanted to put them into the promised land. And like us, for Christians, God brings us out of sin. He saves us. He delivers us from sin. And then as we go through life, He wants us to enter into heaven and find eternal life, that purpose that God has for each and every one of us. John 3:16, we talked about it in our Real series, how God so loves the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. God wants you to have life with Him in heaven. And we see in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, since the promise of entering His rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did. This is an example of how the promised land was symbolic of heaven, because it says they have had the message proclaimed to them. We have the same message they proclaimed to them. Now, when you think about it, nobody back during as Israel's wandering through the promised land had heard of Jesus. They knew nothing about Jesus. So how do they have the same gospel message, the same good news that we hear about, that Jesus came and died for our sins so we can go to heaven? It's symbolic. God said, I have an inheritance, a place I've prepared for you, the promised land. And because of their disobedience and their lack of faith, they did not enter into that rest. God promises us heaven. And so as Christians, we need to keep our eyes fixed on heaven. During this pandemic time, it's easy to get our eyes off of heaven, off of eternity, and on our problems. And here in Wyoming, we're experiencing tumbling oil prices. It's not just COVID-19, but it's tumbling oil prices. Some of you may have lost jobs. Some of you may be encountering different health scenarios. There are cyclones and there's hurricanes that are impacting different parts of the world. And then you hear the regular things of of war and of violence and of injustice and riots and things going on, just unrest in people's lives. And the unrest in the world around us can create unrest in us. But when we have our eyes fixed on heaven, that we have a relationship with God, that God loves us, then we can be relaxed, because we're relaxing in the presence of God, and we have certainty that there's no cause for fear in our lives. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, a little bit further in the book of Hebrews, the writer says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need to look to Jesus during this time of unrest all around us. We can't let our problems or the problems of the world, the chaos of the world, steal the rest that God has for you and for me. In verse 2, it picks up and it says, the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who believed. Now we who have believed enter into that rest, just as God has said, so I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter into my rest. For us to enter into the rest of God, to enter into heaven, we need to put our faith in Christ and walk in obedience. The Hebrews, they were delivered out of Egypt. They were delivered out of sin. But they rebelled against God. They kept turning against Him. They wanted their own ways. They didn't trust God. And because they lacked faith and obedience, they didn't make it to heaven. We need to be people that trust in God. It says in Hebrews 2:3, just a couple chapters before this, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If the author was saying, hey, if the children of Israel, they missed the message of the promised land, and they experienced God's punishment, they didn't enter his rest, how much more are we not going to enter into the rest of heaven? As we've heard the good news that God loves us, that Jesus died for our sin, and he wants a relationship with us, if we rebel against that and don't trust God, we will not experience this spiritual rest of being saved from our sin and entering heaven. Friends, if you don't have this rest, this spiritual rest, a relationship with God, that is the foundation of experiencing rest in your life. You can't have rest if you're not at rest, at peace with God. So that's the first picture of rest, of heaven and a spiritual rest. The second picture we see is a picture of the Sabbath, and that is referring to physical rest. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 4, it states, "And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world, for somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, 'On the seventh day, God rested from all his works.'" God created the world in 6 days. He worked six, and he rested one. On the seventh day, God rested. And we need to work six and rest one. We need to take time for physical rest. It's not good for us to be constantly working, burning the candle at both ends. If we do that, we will become weary, exhausted, and worn out. We need to physically take a break. The creation of the world was a pattern for followers of Jesus to model and to apply to their lives. We're told in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 9 and verse 11, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and he hallowed it." Some of us, we're exhausted and we're worried because we're constantly working. We don't quit. We don't take the Sabbath and set it aside for time of renewal, for a time of worship, for a time of just getting alone with God and of being replenished. We need to make sure that we're keeping holy the Sabbath day. Remember, rest is relaxation in the presence of God, and it's the certainty that there's no cause for fear. That applies to the Sabbath. Because here's the question to ask. Do I trust God that he can accomplish in 6 days what I try to accomplish in 7 days? Do I trust God that if I am going to work 6 days, and then I'm going to say, "God, I'm going to trust that I can accomplish everything I need to get done in 6 days, and you're going to make up the difference. I'm going to trust you can do that instead of me working 7 days total." You see, some of us, we're really good about our finances, about paying our tithe. We trust God that, "God, you can do more with 90% of my income than I can do with 100% of my income." But when it comes to the Sabbath, when it comes to our time and our work and all that we have to accomplish, whether it be on the job or at home or any other organizations or in church or whatever it might be, we say, "You know what? I can do more with seven than God can do with six." We need to trust that God can do more with those 6 days than you and I can do in 7 days. It's a matter of trust. And so I take that Sabbath and I worship and I relax in the presence of God, and I am certain, I've got faith that I can trust God, and there's no reason to fear that I'm not going to get everything done that I need to get done. That is the picture of the Sabbath. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, "There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works just as God did from him." The Sabbath, it is a symbol of our salvation. The Sabbath is a symbol of our salvation. I want you to think of this. We enter into God's rest by stopping our work on the Sabbath, and we trust Jesus to help us to get everything done. That's just like salvation. We stop working. We stop trying to be good enough to earn God's favor. I know when I was growing up, I was taught that if you go to church, if you do all these good things and go to communion and you get baptized and you give to people and you're nice to people and you do all these different things, you work your way to heaven. You earn God's favor. You earn His forgiveness. That is how we obtain heaven. But that's not what it is, because it's not by works that we're saved. Jesus died on the cross. And for us to get to heaven, we need to stop trusting in our works, and we need to trust in the work that Jesus did. And so the Sabbath itself is a picture of our salvation. I'm not going to trust my work. I'm going to stop my works on the Sabbath. I'm going to trust God to take care of it. And there's some of you out there, you have been working 7 days a week. You don't remember the last time you've taken a day off. You don't remember the last time you've taken a break. You are inviting death into your lives. Anyone back in the Old Testament, anyone who was caught working on the Sabbath, you could experience the death penalty. You could get stoned. Now, we don't do that today, and I don't think God wants us to, but I believe the principle that the Bible was laying down is that when you're constantly working, when you're not taking a break and honoring the Sabbath, you invite death into your life. It will slowly cause you to shrivel and die. We need to be people that take a physical rest and keep the Sabbath holy. The third picture, let's move on. The third picture of rest is a picture of purpose. A picture of purpose, and this is freedom from restlessness. Many people are restless in life. They don't have rest in life because life has no purpose, no meaning, and so they're trying desperately to bring significance to life. What is this life all about? Why do I exist? Why am I here? And they're searching for purpose and meaning. We talked about this in our Real Life series. We've talked about an eternity purpose. The letter E was an eternity purpose life. God has a purpose that He wants you and I to accomplish, to influence other people for Christ, to build the kingdom of God. And this is not just for people who are not saved, but for people that are Christians, that are followers of Jesus. I know many people, their life, they love God, they pray, they go to church, but they feel like something's missing, and that's because they have lost sight that God has a calling on their life, that they are unique creations of God, fearfully and wonderfully made, that God has given them gifts and talents, and He wants them to use those gifts and talents in a way that impacts and influences other people. And when you lose sight of the purpose of God, you're going to be restless. You're not going to feel satisfied. That was a definition that we talked about at the beginning. The second definition of rest is that rest is the satisfaction that comes from accomplishment, the completion of a task, from the exercise of creativity. Verse 8, I believe, references to this purpose when it talks about Joshua not giving the people rest. You see, the Jews kind of thought when Joshua brought them into the promised land, man, that was the rest. But the author of Hebrews was saying the real rest was salvation, Jesus dying on the cross. He says, Joshua, bringing you to the promised land, bringing you to be a people of destiny. You see, Israel, when they got into the promised land, it's not just, oh man, we're here now. It's a land flowing of milk and honey. We can kick back in a deck chair along the Sea of Galilee, put our feet up and sip iced tea. No, when they entered the promised land, they had to go and fight the enemy. They had to take dominion over the enemy. They had to build the kingdom of God. There was a purpose, a work that they had to do, because God, as He promised Abraham, He says, through your family, through the nation of the Jews, the entire world is going to be blessed. And so God is establishing, He's given them this purpose to build His kingdom, to be a light to the world. And God has given you and I that same purpose. Jesus said, you're the light of the world, you're the salt of the earth, and we need to make an impact and influence people around us. Our mission statement as a church is to help all people find and follow Jesus. That's why we exist. That's the reason we're here on planet Earth. And so we find rest when we are engaging in the purposes of God. When you and I do God's work, when we let God use us, man, it's exciting, it's thrilling. A few weeks ago, I was having a conversation with someone, and I mentioned a specific situation in their life. And when we were done talking, I prayed with them, and they said, "How did you know about that? Who told you?" "I haven't told anyone except my family." And I began to think about it, and it's like, you know, I don't know who told me. I just knew that I knew. And as we talked about it, this was a Thursday. They just found out on Monday about this situation. And God had given me a word of knowledge. And to that person, all of a sudden, it was like, wow, God knows where I'm at. I'm not alone. And they were so encouraged because God spoke to me about their situation. And I could pray with them right there. And not only were they excited, I was excited. It was so thrilling to be used of God in that way. And God wants to use us through the gifts of the Spirit, being sensitive to the promptings that the Holy Spirit gives us. You and I can have an incredible purpose impacting and influencing people for Christ. It comes as we share the gospel, as we witness with not yet Christians. That purpose is accomplished when maybe we're mentoring someone, discipling someone one-on-one, and all of a sudden, you know, they get it. And it becomes, we see their life beginning to change, and the things that used to hold them in bondage, they're being set free from. That purpose is accomplished when we are teaching a class and all of a sudden we see in one of our students a light bulb goes on and it's just like, wow, they have this revelation moment and God does something neat in their life and they get a truth that is going to help them, that encourages them, that inspires them to reach and go after the purpose that God has for them. When we do God's kingdom work, and it may be something big or it may be something small. It can be something like running the cameras on a Sunday morning so that as we do our come back to public worship next week, we've got our online service still going and we're touching people all around the nation, around the world, whoever might be listening to this. You and I have an opportunity by using our gifts, our talents, our passions, the things that God has given us, we can influence people for Christ. As you and I engage in the purpose that God created us for, we find rest from restlessness. We're free from that. All right, let's take a look at the final picture. The last picture of rest we see today is the picture of Jesus as our high priest. And this speaks to emotional rest. This speaks to emotional rest. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16, it says, "Therefore, since we have a high priest, a great high priest, who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess." No matter what happens in life, Jesus is your high priest. What does that mean? It means that Jesus is the mediator between God and you. And so when you have a problem, you can come to Jesus. You go to Jesus, you share that problem with him, and Jesus takes that problem to God. And because Jesus died on the cross for your sin, and he's given you his righteousness, and he sees you as being holy and pure, he brings you before the throne of God, and you can talk to God, and God is there for you. Jesus is there for us. Every problem, physical sickness, financial problems, maybe a relationship that's just kind of gone off tracks, a situation at work, maybe just a personal thing that you're dealing with, a personal demon, a personal struggle that you can't overcome, you can depend upon Jesus to be your high priest and to bring that need before God. Maybe it's a temptation, something that feels like it is just overwhelming and you can't overcome. I love what the next verse says. It says, "We don't have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." Friends, Jesus understands us because he became human. He was God in the flesh, and he was tempted in every temptation with every sin that we've been tempted with. And so he sympathizes. He understands. Jesus gets us. And it says, because he's our high priest, because he understands, because he sympathizes, verse 16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When you have a need, you need to take it to God in prayer. You need to just come and say, God, I need your help. God, I'm depending upon you. And you just begin to pour out your need and let Jesus carry you through that time. For our family devotions, we've been reading a biography about Huldah Bhutain. Huldah and her husband Mark were missionaries to Calcutta, India. Her husband Mark died many years into the ministry, and the ministry had just exploded. God had done incredible things. Thousands of people came to know Jesus Christ through their ministry. And there was a hospital that had been built. There was a Bible schools throughout the nation. There was also schools to train teachers and to train nurses. There was orphanages. There were feeding programs in the streets of Calcutta that fed tens of thousands of people and children. And so it was a massive, massive work that God had established through Mark and Huldah's leadership. And when Mark passed away, Huldah was in an airport when she found out, and she just sat down and she says, God, you've got to bring someone to lead the ministry. I don't know what to do. This is so big. And she heard a voice. She thought it was someone behind her, and the voice said, take it one day at a time. I will help you. And Huldah, she turns around, and there's nobody there. And she was sure it was someone, but it was God speaking to her. Huldah, take it one day at a time. I will be there. And so Huldah did that. Huldah began to lead the ministry, not just lead the ministry, she also began to pastor the church. It was a huge responsibility. And there was many days she was saying, God, this is too big for me. And she heard those words that came back to her at the airport, take it one day at a time. I will help you. And there were several problems, several issues that she ran into that she just had to go to God when she was in need. They wanted to start a cardiac unit because many of their patients, they came in and they had heart problems. They were having chest pains and they could not receive any care in other hospitals. They were too poor. And Mark and Huldah's hospital did not have the facilities to do that. And there was a floor they could do it on the fifth floor of their hospital, but that's where the nurses were staying. So Huldah began praying for an apartment for the nurses, and she began to look. She made phone calls for weeks and months because she really wanted to start this cardiac unit, but she couldn't. Finally, there was a building across the street, and she went and looked at it. It was apartments, and they were beautiful apartments, and they were at an incredible price. And so Huldah, she just says, God, this is it. And she said, I'll make an offer. She felt it was God, and then she went out, and she was able to raise the money for it, and God provided for the nurses. God provided for the cardiac unit. There was another situation where they were building a church because they had outgrown their church, and they were using granite. Granite was a sturdy material to withstand the monsoons that hit India every season. It also did not need to be painted every year. The monsoons really wreaked havoc on a building structure. And so they were using granite. They were importing it from Bangladesh. And all of a sudden, one day, her contractor came to her and said, we can no longer get granite from Bangladesh. And Huldah's just going, oh God, what do we do? I need you. And she heard those words, I will walk with you. I will help you. And she kept praying. She tried different things. And in time, God opened doors and they received granite and they were able to finish the building on time. As our family has been reading this story of Huldah's life and how God has walked with her, I know it's increased my faith. One story that really stood out was Huldah had a situation she was facing, and she remembered something that Mark had encountered when they were first building the hospital. They dug the foundation out, And as they dug it out, they hit an underground reservoir, and it began to fill up with water, and it looked like a swimming pool. And Mark, he contacted engineers, and they said, it's going to take 600 pilings for you to be able to build the hospital here. Mark and Hulda didn't have that kind of money. And so Mark, he got a cement box, and he took a New Testament from his shirt pocket. He put the New Testament into the shirt box, and he walks over to this lake, to this swimming pool, and he drops it in there, and he begins to pray, and he says, God, I pray the waters would recede. And before their very eyes, before the contractors and the staff and the workers, the construction workers, the water began to go down. They were able to build the hospital upon that foundation, and that is the driest building in the area. Every year when the monsoons come in, the building of the hospital remains dry when all other buildings around them are flooded. You see, that's the kind of impossible God that we serve. God can take the things of nature and do it. And I have to tell you, when we read that story just this week in our family devotions, God spoke to me and says, Craig, you need to pray. You need to come before me, your high priest, and just ask for my help. Because we were having a problem with our carpet. We shared this on a video here just last week that when our carpet cleaners came and experienced an issue, we don't know what caused it, but the carpet, it looked dirtier than before. Before, it looked pretty clean. There was just a few spots here and there. When they were done the first time, it looked bad. There was big spots all over the place. If you've been in our church, you know it's kind of a zigzag pattern. You really couldn't make out the pattern that well. Maybe a little bit here, a little bit there, but you couldn't make it out. And it was just like, God, what are we going to do? And the carpet company, the carpet cleaners contacted the company and the manufacturer and other people they had contacts with. They tried several different procedures. And this week, it's like we think we've got one. But they tested an area, and it looked pretty good. So they came on Monday, and we read that story on Monday morning. And I came into the sanctuary here, and I just began to pray. I began to walk all around this building and say, God, I pray you'd take care of this carpet. Because if it doesn't, Father God, if it doesn't become clean, we're going to have to contact the manufacturer. There's something wrong, and I don't know what they're going to do. And this is going to take a lot of time, and we don't want to set the chairs back up and have everybody come in and walk all over. That's just going to complicate matters. God, I pray that you would do a miracle. And as I was praying, I felt God speak to me, Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, where it says, every place that the sole of your foot treads, I'm going to give it to you. And I felt God say, Craig, I want you to step on every carpet square in the sanctuary. So I began in the corner, over to my right, up front here, and I began to walk, and I began to pray, making sure my foot stepped on every square. I covered two squares at a time per foot, okay? I had to get done before the carpet cleaners came. In fact, when they came, I was still about halfway. I had to go. But I just kept praying. I kept walking. I didn't care how it looked to them. And then when they were finished, it looked really pretty good. You could see the pattern back, but it wasn't dry. And sometimes when it dries, you don't know what it's going to look like. But I just kept praying. I kept believing. And when we came the next morning, the carpet looked great. It looked clean. It was awesome. And I just felt God being that high priest, Jesus being that high priest, taking that burden and taking it and speaking life and showing me how to pray. And friends, God wants to do that for you. You don't have to carry your burdens. God did not intend you to take this upon yourself. He wants you to cast all of your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Our God is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. And this morning, you may be going through a difficult time. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you have a health crisis. Whatever is taking place, God wants you to bring those things to Him in prayer. This morning, as you're watching, as you're listening, how many of you would say, man, I need that emotional rest. I am so bound up right now. I'm worried. I'm frustrated. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm pulling my hair out. My kids are driving me nuts. They've been home for a few weeks, or I don't know how we're going to pay our bills. Friends, I want you to realize that you can bring that need to Jesus. He's your faithful high priest. He understands you, and you can relax in the presence of God. You can relax in the certainty that there's no reason to fear. I realized as I looked at Huldah's life, as we were reading this book, that, you know what? Yeah, she prayed a lot, but she also worked a lot. And a lot of times it didn't happen immediately, but it did happen many times right up to the last moment, the last day, the last hour. God brought through and God did the miracle. And friends, God is seldom early, but He's never late. You can depend upon Him. If you need emotional rest this morning, I'm going to invite you just to begin to cast your cares upon Jesus. What is that thing? What is that burden that has you bottled up, bound up, that frustrated, so full of fear, stressed out? Begin to give it to God right now. There's some of you here today, you need God's rest of purpose. You kind of have a restlessness in life. You feel you're missing something, and that may be because you're not letting God use you. You're not using your time and your talent, your abilities, your giftings, your resources to build the kingdom of God. And God is saying, I want you to begin to be open. Let me speak to you. Get involved in a ministry. Get involved in someone's life and begin to impact them. As I was getting ready for the message today, I felt God say, Craig, there are some people out there, they've been doing God's work. They've been involved in that purpose, but they've grown weary and well-doing. And I want you to tell them today, and I want you to hear this, tell them that they will reap a harvest if they don't give up. So keep praying, keep depending upon God, and keep working. Because if you keep going after God, keep depending upon Him, He will see you through. Some of you this morning, you need physical rest. Physically, you're just worn out. You're exhausted. You need to begin to keep the Sabbath. Some of you, you have kind of gotten out of the routine of going to church. And by that, I mean watching online. It's kind of like, oh, I slept in. I can catch up. I can watch it another time. And you've gotten out of that routine. And as we open things back up, as we meet again, that's going to impact you. You and I desperately need to take that Sabbath to keep it holy, to take some time and get together with other believers, the body of Christ. We need the body. Just as your hand needs your entire body, you need the entire body. We need one another. We need to fellowship with one another. There's something that takes place when we gather corporately. It says in the book of Psalms, God inhabits the praises of His people, of us collectively. When we get together, God shows up in a special way. You need to take some time and make sure that church becomes a priority again. Some of you need to stop working on the Sabbath. You need to worship. You need to relax. You need to continue that family time with your family and do that on a Sunday. But make the Sabbath a special part of your life so that you can experience God's rest. And then there's others of you this morning, as you're listening, you don't have rest because there is sin in your life. You're not a follower of Jesus Christ, or maybe you have been, but you've been rebelling against God. You've been going your own way. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, it says, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. It's talking about that spiritual rest of salvation, of being forgiven of your sin, so that you can have a relationship with Jesus and go, enter into heaven. It says, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Friends, all of us are going to have to give an account to God someday. And God sees everything. He knows everything. Nothing escapes God. We can't keep secrets from God. So He knows what we've done. And some of you right now, you feel that convicting power of God. That's God's Spirit saying, you have sinned. You're away from me. You need to repent. You need to turn to me. You need to quit disobeying and going after your own way. You need to follow me and my ways for your life. There are some of you here today, you are a Christian, but you're walking in disobedience. You know, the thing that is so scary about the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, came out of sin, they're on their way to the promised land because they were willful, because they said, God, I'm going to do it my way, because they didn't trust God with every area of their life and they disobeyed him, they did not enter into that rest. They died in the wilderness. They lost out on what God had for them. And if we are sinning willfully, we're being disobedient, we will miss out on heaven. You and I need to be people that are pure, that are clean, that have confessed our sin, and we're following after God instead of following after our own ways. And this morning, maybe you're listening, you're watching, and you're saying, man, I'm being convicted. I know God's speaking to me right now. Maybe you're not a follower of Jesus. Maybe you are, but you've been off the path, and you'd say, I need to get right with God. I want you to say right now where you're at, I need forgiveness. I need to obey. I need to trust in God. Maybe you're like me. You grew up in a church. I grew up in church. I went to church. I was faithful, did everything the church said, but the whole time, I didn't have the certainty that when I died, I was going to heaven. And the reason is because I was depending on my works. I thought I could work my way into heaven. And maybe that's you this morning. And you realize that it's not my works, but it's the work that Jesus has done. And you need to surrender your life and say, Jesus, I'm trusting you, what you did on the cross. And I want to follow you out of love. I want to pray with you this morning, this prayer of forgiveness, this prayer of entering into God's rest. I'd like each of you to join me as we pray. Lord Jesus, you did the work for me by dying on the cross. I am a sinner. I need forgiveness. And I'm trusting you to forgive me. I'm trusting you to cleanse me from my sin. And I'm trusting you with my life to lead me. I surrender control. I will follow you. Give me rest. Give me peace of mind that I'm right with you and I have the certainty that I'm going to heaven. Amen. Amen. If you said that prayer today, I want to welcome you into God's family. If you've turned from your sin and you're following Christ, you have a relationship with God, and we welcome you to God's family. And now your next step is to keep looking to Jesus. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. If you've started a relationship with Jesus, he's authored a story. You've got a new story with God, a new relationship. But God wants to see you through all the way to your life, and he wants to finish your faith. And those of you who are followers of Jesus Christ, you're maybe going through a difficult time. Realize that if you look to Jesus and not your problem, Jesus will finish your faith. He will help you. God will give you that emotional rest. I want to pray for you right now to experience his rest. Father God, you see those who have burdens this morning. I pray they would not hold on to them any longer, but Jesus, they would just throw them up to you. They would cast them upon you. Jesus, you're their great high priest. I want you to begin to tell God what that burden is right now. What's weighing on your heart? Lord, as they speak that to you, I pray you would take that burden and you would replace it, God, with blessing. God, you would take that restlessness and you would restore them and give them rest in their mind, rest in their heart, rest in their emotions. Jesus, I pray for those that are weary. They need physical rest. They don't see how they're going to get everything done. God, they're fearful that if they take the Sabbath, it's not going to happen. They're going to get even more behind. Jesus, I pray that you would make up the difference. I pray that as they begin to practice Sabbath, as they come to church, as they take time to unplug and just to relax in your presence and relax in the certainty of God, Lord, that you would do miracles. You would help them to accomplish more in 6 days than what they ever did before in 7. And I pray, Lord, for purpose right now for your people. I pray that each of us would find your plan. God, use us in a powerful way. Build your kingdom. Help us to fight the enemy. Help us to bring other people into the promised land to experience your rest, to experience your salvation. Help us to fight against the devil, to take dominion over him and influence the world for Jesus Christ. Jesus, I give you praise and thanks that you give us rest. You are everything that we need. Amen. Amen. Friends, relax in God's presence. Spend time with him. Worship him. Lift your prayers up to him. Relax in the certainty that there's no cause for fear. Rest in the satisfaction that you are accomplishing God's purposes. God wants to give you rest, and I just pray for you to experience that in a tangible way this week. Hey, I'm looking forward to seeing you live next Sunday. Remember to come early because things are going to be a little different, and we're excited about what God is doing, and we're going to share with you some of the powerful things, the incredible things God has done for us. Also, we'll see you at noon just a little bit in the parking lot for our Memorial Day picnic. Bring your own picnic and your lunch. We're going to sing a little, laugh a little, eat a lot, and just have a great time. God bless. Have a great week as you rest in Him.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.